Upheaval. Reckoning. Chapter 6. Two Royal Sisters.
Your papers are in order, Sundrop. I'm glad to see more volunteers coming to help out here. Report to Task Sergeant Moldbreak over there so you can start. With that, the sentry handed Celestia's papers back and nodded her along. It had only been half an hour since she left the Grand Meeting Hall, and some guards already found her suspicious. She wasn't surprised. Every pony in Bastion City moved with purpose while she wandered about, observing all the activity. At first, she wanted to visit Twilight and her friends, but one of the special operations ponies watching out for her had mentioned that the Elements of Harmony had just been deployed earlier that morning. She ended up wandering about, just taking in the sights of the city. That was all it took for a sentry to notice that she wasn't doing anything useful. Fortunately, her brother's special operation ponies had provided her with a means to maintain her disguise. Her new papers stayed true to the identity Toronto had provided her. She was Sundrop, one of the many volunteers now streaming into Bastion City to help prepare for the offensive. However, staying true to her disguise also meant that she had to take part in the work the volunteers were tasked with. She walked over to Task Sergeant Moldbreak, a burly, square-jawed earth pony with a tan coat and a cropped dark brown mane. He was directing several groups of earth ponies when he noticed Celestia. With a frown and a flick of a foreleg, he gestured for her to come over.
"You come to this city alone, lass?"
he asked.
"Where'd you come from?"
"Hearthstone City, sir," Celestia answered.
"Hearthstone?" Moldbreak exclaimed fondly. "Haven't been down there for 10 years. Is old Blackdamp still running the mines?"
Celestia felt her heartbeat quicken. This was certainly an unexpected situation to come to so early.
"I'm afraid I don't know who that pony is," she replied.
A quick and innocent admission would be better than a steadily rising mountain of lies for this situation.
"Pah, filly,"
Moldbreak groused.
"Anyways, let's put you to work, Sundrop."
He looked at the list he held in his hoofs.
"Let's see. Looks like they need a few more hoofs for corpse duty. Head on over to the execution grounds to start off."
Celestia swallowed a lump in her throat. Corpse duty didn't sound like a pleasant task.
"May I ask what corpse duty entails?" she asked.
Moldbreak looked at her as if she had asked what the hair growing on her head was called.
"We're still cleaning up after all the recent battles," he said tentatively.
He looked unsure if the mare in front of him was simply making fun of him or was actually serious.
"We need ponies to haul our dead in for identification and burial. You and a bunch of others are going to spend your time dragging dead bodies around and digging graves. Now, get over to the execution grounds. You're starting with that latest batch of Black Rose rebels they caught."
He motioned to a couple of earth ponies, a stallion and a mare, who were already on the move.
"Go on and follow them if you don't know where the execution grounds are."
Celestia nodded and did as she was told. She felt a little awkward, taking orders from a mortal pony. It wasn't that the feeling was unpleasant. Far from it. There was a certain comfort in being told what to do, instead of deciding for others.
"So what's your name, miss?"
the stallion asked Celestia as soon as they were on the move. They rounded one corner and then took a side road, avoiding the incoming heavy traffic brought by the long line of supply wagons.
"It's Sundrop," Celestia replied.
The friendly smile on the stallion's face let her relax a bit. For all her fears of Toronto's ponies being savage monsters, they had, so far, behaved politely and calmly.
"I'm Knife Point, and this is my sister, Hilt Twist," the stallion continued.
He had a coppery coat and a long, unkempt mane of green. His sister was a more subdued golden brown and had a short, curly mane of the same green as his. Hilt Twist poked her brother with a hoof as they continued walking.
"You promised to keep your flirting in line, brother," she said with a frown.
She also smiled when she shifted her attention to Celestia.
"Did you come to Bastion City all by yourself?"
"I came with my siblings,"
Celestia replied. She paused as she said that and looked towards the direction of the Grand Meeting Hall. Toronto was occupied by his invasion plans and how to best utilize the Heartland. Luna was back in Canterlot, dealing with the mess she should be dealing with. While they worked on those agendas, she was out here, just observing. She couldn't help but feel a little guilty.
"They're busy with their own tasks at the moment," she added.
"Who isn't?" Knife Point remarked.
"It's been crazy these past few days. First there are all those horror stories about the North about to be overrun by Wolven. Now we're actually launching our own invasion. About time we took the fight to Wolvengard, I say," Hilt Twist added.
Celestia appraised the two carefully.
These two weren't bloodthirsty killers. Far from it. They looked like simple farmers who simply came out here to help.
"Do you really think that invading Wolvengard is a good idea?"
she asked them.
"Of course it is,"
Knifepoint answered. "Can you imagine what it would be like if we wiped the Wolven out, or got them to stop attacking for good? No more worrying about the raiders sneaking into your farm or attacking a vital caravan. A peaceful northern barrier land. We can send support to the west and south, so it'll only be a matter of time until they start pushing forward." "I'm only calling it a good idea once we win," Hilttwist said. "Who knows what'll happen in Wolvengard? Even if we win all our battles, it's going to be a long and brutal march to the north. How many of our own will die before we win?"
"Dying to bring an end to Wolvengard's invasions?" Knifepoint replied.
"I think that's a good end."
"So how come you haven't joined the Legion?" Hilttwist asked.
An embarrassed look crossed Knifepoint's face. "You know I want to," he replied to his sister's sharp question.
"But who's going to manage the farm if I sign up? Dad's not getting any younger, and you can't do it alone. With Wintercoat and Grizzleback already signed up, the farm can't afford having me gone."
"If your farm needs you, why have you come all the way here?"
Celestia asked. "Harvest's done for this year," Knifepoint replied. "With all the big things happening to the Legion recently, every pony should be coming here to help with invasion preparations. Even if it's just a few months worth of volunteer work, I'd..."
"We're here already,"
Hilttwist interrupted. They stepped out of the street and into their destination. The execution grounds were wide, flat spaces of concrete, just behind Bastion City Prison, where punishment was meted out for criminals of all sorts. The prison itself was small. From what Luna had mentioned earlier, there were a few crimes in the barrier lands punishable by imprisonment. Preferred non-lethal punishments included whipping, branding, docking, and heavy fines. Ponies stuck in prison were those unable to pay their fines, and they usually spent most of the day in hard labor. The three of them entered through what appeared to be a back entrance just behind the gallows. Another Earth Pony mare, this one wearing the chain barding of a Legionnaire, stood there waiting for them.
"About time I got some volunteers for corpse duty over here," the Earth Pony said impatiently. "The first batch just got finished. Get over here and haul these rebels to that wagon before the next batch piles in."
Celestia barely heard the barked orders. For a moment, she stared at the huge wooden gallows that dominated the execution grounds. 8 ponies, their heads covered in black cloth, hung by their necks, while a crowd watched from the opposite side of where she was. The bodies were already limp, and a steady breeze made them swing slightly. A pony was already cutting one of them down, while Knifepoint and Hilttwist stood at the ready to haul it to the nearby wagon.
"Over here, Sundrop!"
Knifepoint called out. When the first body dropped on his legs, he and Hilttwist wrestled with the sudden load briefly before getting a good grip. Celestia went over to them hesitantly. Her facial expression remained calm, while all the while she fought down the horror at what she was seeing. Ponies killing each other. Not just that, they were doing so with an audience eager to watch, and a process that reduced the act to just one more task. She doubted that she'll ever get used to this sight. Knifepoint placed the first dead pony on his back and began to carry it over to the wagon, while the Legionnaire on top of the gallows cut down a second body.
"Who are these ponies?" Celestia asked. "Why did they have to die like this?"
"Save your pity,"
the Legionnaire on top of the gallows said as she dropped a body on Hilttwist's waiting hoofs.
"These are Black Rose rebels. Ponies who turn on their fellows don't deserve any mercy."
With a grunt, Hilttwist lifted the corpse onto her back.
"Black Rose rebels?"
she asked.
"What are those?"
"Prince Dam traitors are what they are,"
the Legionnaire replied. She cut down a third corpse and looked over to Celestia, motioning for her to get into position.
"They were against the barrier set up by Princess Celestia, so they decided to help the Wolven so our prince would have no choice other than to turn to the Heartland for help."
Though Celestia had braced herself for the weight, the impact of the body nearly buckled her legs. She shook as she recovered, suddenly aware that it had been a long time since she had lifted anything physically, and that she may have overestimated how much she had recovered from having her power stolen.
"You all right there, Sundrop?"
Knifepoint asked. He walked over to help, but both Hilttwist's hoof on his shoulder and a shake of Celestia's head stopped him.
"No pony likes being a burden, Knifepoint,"
Hilttwist said softly. The two of them walked past Celestia as she walked slowly but steadily towards the cart. She placed the dead body there gently and then wiped some sweat from her brow. She paused midway to check her now damp foreleg. Exertion, Yet another thing she had yet to get used to. She had tired herself out before, but it was from using up her magical strength. Sweating, breathing hard, and feeling the burn on some of her muscles were not everyday sensations.
"What's the matter there, volunteer?"
the legionnaire on top of the gallows called out.
"Never seen your own sweat before? Hurry, they're lining up the second batch of rebels."
They repeated the same motions, eventually placing all the bodies onto the cart. When the ninth body was loaded, Celestia was panting heavily. She looked up in time to find that the gallows were occupied again. Six more ponies were led to prepared nooses. Four of them already had black cloth draped over their faces. The fifth was struggling against the pair of legionnaires that were holding him.
"Nags!" the pony shouted. "You nags! Killing me won't bring back the lives that were lost!"
One legionnaire struggled to get the black cloth over the struggling pony's head.
"You hang us as traitors, but we were the ones who did what had to be done! Look to the south! The barrier's gone! Who do you think you should thank? The Legion?"
The gathered crowd booed and jeered as the legionnaires continued to struggle. Celestia wanted to stop the grisly affair, but she knew she would accomplish nothing other than causing more trouble. She also thought about speaking to Tirado about his methods, but how long had he been executing ponies like this? How many rebels had he killed to protect her barrier? She felt a weight greater than any corpse slung over her back, come down on her shoulders. She pictured hundreds of ponies hanging by Tirado's orders, all for the sake of protecting the Heartland.
"An ocean of blood has soaked him, and the corpses of millions weigh down on his shoulders. You would know of what he has become."
"An ocean of blood has soaked me as well, and I didn't even notice."
Celestia lowered her head, unable to watch the execution. Finally, one of the legionnaires smashed a hoof against the struggling pony's face, while the other one slipped the cloth over his head while he was stunned. They dragged the pony to position and placed the noose around his neck.
"Is there no way they can be pardoned?"
Celestia asked Knifepoint. The muffled shouting from one of the condemned clawed at her insides. Her two companions continued to watch as a second wagon wheeled into place behind them.
"Why should we even try?"
Knifepoint asked. He let himself smile grimly as the proceedings continued.
"I hated that barrier too, but they turned on their brothers and sisters in the Legion. Nothing's worth that. They should hang."
Celestia looked on sadly as the trap doors beneath the condemned ponies swung open. They fell and jerked once before going limp. The legionnaires inspected each body, making sure that it was dead. Then they began to cut them down, while Celestia and the others moved into place. When all the bodies were hauled onto the second wagon, they were handed shovels.
"That is a lot of graves to dig,"
Celestia said quietly as she stared at the two wagon loads of corpses. A couple of volunteers were already pulling them away.
"Graves?"
the legionnaire that had cut down the bodies said as he walked past Celestia.
"We're not burying these ones. Traitors don't get to be absorbed into our prince's element. No, we're going to have an open pit fire and burn them."
A second legionnaire walked over and watched the wagons pull away. Celestia and her companions were about to move on when he spoke.
"With the barrier down, maybe the stink will waft all the way to the south and cause Princess Celestia to start choking," he said.
The two legionnaires laughed grimly among themselves. Celestia glanced at them briefly before moving on. Her shoulders were aching, and she already felt sick.
"She already is,"
she told them wordlessly.
"Greetings, citizens of Ponyville,"
Luna said before a gathered group of ponies. She kept her voice soft this time. She had learned her lesson. While she was not greeted by screams of terror, the town's reception of her did not exactly exude warmth. She had come without any guards for this part of her tour of the Heartland. The presence of armored, stern-looking ponies made it more difficult to talk to the Heartland's increasingly worried citizens. Though, now that she thought about it, the Heartland was going to have to get used to the presence of grim, armed, and armored pony soldiers from now on. Even now, she had but to look at the crowd, and she could practically smell the fear. The only reason that they didn't cower like the ponies in Manhattan did was that she had spent just a bit more time to get to know these ponies better. It grated on Luna to admit it, but she was relieved that Black Rose continued to perform Celestia's duties. If the sun had stopped rising, Celestia's sudden absence and the strangeness of her decree would have sparked a realm-wide panic that Nightmare Moon had returned, and all these ponies right now would be fleeing in terror.
Your Highness.
The mayor stepped forward hesitantly, her head bowed so low that it almost touched the ground. She held up a copy of Celestia's decree with a shaking hoof.
We received this decree some days ago, but we're not sure what it means.
And I am here to explain just that, Luna replied.
The other ponies stepped closer as she began her explanation. Her first attempts at Canterlot had not gone very well, partly because the ponies of the Heartland found it difficult to even grasp the idea that she was presenting to them, and partly because she was hesitant and unsure of the best way to clarify the situation. The nobility took some time to let the truth sink in. When it did, the reactions were unclear. There was no panic or rioting, not even outrage over the idea that Celestia had hidden something so important from them. Instead, what she saw was a slow, simmering fear, a fear that she doubted that they understood or were even aware of when they returned to their homes. An unseen terror was permeating the Heartland, and none of its inhabitants had any clue how to deal with it. They instinctively knew that running or hiding in one's house did no good. They couldn't even pinpoint the source of this fear. All they knew was that Equestria now had enemies. But just how exactly would all these new things affect their lives? There were so many things to consider and worry about that they were simply overwhelmed into inactivity. Even with Luna there to speak about it, the ponies of the Heartland simply could not grasp the gravity of the situation. It was frightening and saddening to think that they would probably only see what was now being asked of them when they were finally faced with Equestria's enemies.
When legionnaires start knocking on their doors, they might have a clearer idea, she thought.
Your Highness, what is this Equestrian Legion? One pony asked. Are we going to meet this Prince Tirado? Why haven't we heard of him before? Is Princess Celestia all right? What happened to her? Can I join the Legion for a week and then go back here? I can't leave my garden for too long.
Can't the Royal Guard deal with whatever's attacking us?
It was the same as every settlement Luna had gone through, with only some slight variations. Facing these innocently asked questions was heartbreaking. She almost felt that Tirado was asking for too much, that she was asking for too much.
What about my sister and her friends?
There was no mistaking the childish voice that asked the question. It cut through the confused murmurings of the crowd with such ease that every pony turned to see who it was. Luna found herself looking at a yellow earth pony filly with a bright red mane. She remembered seeing this one before, back in Canterlot when she was angrily leaving her sister's room. The filly was flanked by her friends, a white unicorn with a curly pink and purple mane, and an orange pegasus. Behind her was the red stallion and the old mare she had also seen in Canterlot before.
The letter said Applejack ain't a criminal. So where is she? Is she still banished?
No, she is not, Luna replied.
For the first time since she came back to the Heartland, she found something to smile about. She approached the filly and gave her a reassuring pat on the head. She turned to speak to the crowd.
Applejack and the rest of the so-called criminals are, in fact, heroes, and should be welcomed as such when they make their return here.
The wide, beaming smile on the filly's face alone made this trip worth it, as was the wave of joy from her family. Ever since Luna promised the Apple family her help back when they begged for it in the royal palace, she had hoped to accomplish something like this. The murmurings among the crowd began to take a tone of relief. Ponyville had not dismissed Twilight and her friends as criminals, after all.
Then they're coming home soon, right?
The yellow filly asked. She and her friends were already doing a little dance among themselves.
No,
Luna replied, sad that she had to spoil their growing cheer. When their smiles turned into confused dejection, she knew she had to add some consolation.
They're part of the Legion now, and they have much to do to continue protecting Equestria.
It warmed her heart to see some hope return to the three. The Pegasus filly spoke up inquisitively.
Then can we join the Legion so we can help them out?
The curly-maned unicorn brightened even more at the idea.
That's a great idea! Maybe we can earn our cutie marks there!
The response took Luna aback. That was something she hadn't thought about. Cutie marks. For the first time in the Heartland's entire history, cutie marks involving the Legion and the things it did will start appearing. That would certainly be quite a conversation between her siblings now that the barrier was down. Those enchantments were still in place. A strange choice by Black Rose. Will Tirado start marking the barrier lands ponies,
or will he insist on removing the ones on the Heartland ponies? A yank on her tail put a stop to all her speculation.
So can we join the Legion, Your Highness?
The three fillies asked. I'm afraid that the three of you are too young, Luna replied. She was about to add, perhaps when you're older, but she stopped herself. That just didn't sound right. She wished that the need to draft ponies would no longer be there by the time these three had grown up.
What about us, Your Highness? A pony from the crowd asked. Are all of us going to join the Legion now?
One pony, per family, Luna replied. More questions followed, and she began to answer each one in earnest. The day wore on, and it was almost evening when Luna prepared to leave Ponyville. After trying to make the situation as clear as possible for the villagers, she had spent some extra time visiting the families of Twilight's friends, just like she visited the Purple Unicorn's parents back in Canterlot. Seeing their relief and pride as she told of what had actually happened to their family was likely going to be one bright spot in this long tour. She wanted it done as quickly as possible. Legionnaires were already entering the Heartland, but she had instructed them to camp out in the wilderness, away from any settlements, until she gave the go-ahead. There were other things entering the Heartland as well. The Royal Guard had already reported seeing a great amount of rumbling from the Dragon Territories. The Dracodim had already begun enforcing their code. That was another problem that had to be dealt with sooner or later. For now, she had to raise the moon and then fly off to the next settlement.